Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. 3 John chapter 2 is a verse you've heard here many times, and if you haven't heard it before, you're about to hear it, but the third epistle of John, the second verse, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And I like what the Amplified says because it really brings out the meaning of the word to prosper. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." So keeping well, keeping well. That's prosperity. No matter what you're going through, it's going to be well with you. Hallelujah. If the apostle is praying that we may prosper in every way and be in health, even as our soul prospers, then we better take notice of it. And I want you to understand that there's no quick fix. And actually, the word for prosperity in the Greek is the word, it's a combination of two words, well or good, and keeping or going. So going good, going well, things going well in your life. It's a journey. It's a journey. There's no quick fix. There's no get rich quick overnight scheme. It's a process. And as you are faithful, the Lord will continue to prosper you and add to you. But it involves renewing your mind, because even as your soul prospers, so prosperity must actually be established in your mind. That's why when I talk about the enemies of prosperity, it's not just the spirit of religion and the spirit of poverty, which are like the Siamese twins from the pit of hell. They work together. Anytime you see a spirit of religion, you also see a spirit of poverty. But it's also a mindset. Poverty is also a mindset. It is something that gets in your soul, in the way you think, in the way you see things, in the way you analyze things, well, he got happy over there. Happy. You're about to join the happy clapping. What's that? It's so true. Absolutely. He's about to join the happy clapping crowd over there. That's the happiest I've ever seen you, my Lord. He's actually smiling and clapping. Praise God. We're having a move of God over there. Revival's breaking out over there. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is so true. Poverty is a mindset. It gets in your soul and affects the way you see things, the way you analyze things, the way you, you know, examine things, the way you basically deduce things. So it involves renewing your mind. Even as your soul prospers. Your soul is what? Your mind, your will, your emotions. So that's why it's very important that we understand that we've got to renew our minds. You've got to get that small thinking out of your mind. You got to begin to think big. And you got to let the Spirit of God do a work on the inside of you so that He can expand your capacity to imagine. Because see, that's what sets us apart from all the rest of creation. God's given us an imagination. Animals don't have an imagination. Plants don't have an imagination. Amen. We have an imagination. We have the ability to imagine, dream. We have the ability to have goals and vision and to dream things. Amen. I mean, I preached last night at KBF. The Lord gave me the message to preach, but several people came up to me afterwards. They're talking about like how, actually two different people talked to me about dreams, how dreams that they had let go years ago, just last night, just all of a sudden just got resurrected in their spirit. It's like, you know, wow, I used to dream about doing this years ago, but I kind of gave up on those dreams. I kind of got, you know, into this or that just to, you know, earn a living and maybe make money or this and that, or things happen. And how many of us have actually stopped dreaming because of things that have happened? You know, and I believe that's something we need to start doing again, because a part of prospering is beginning to dream again. Beginning to dream again, because you can't just be stuck in a job, which is like being stuck in a rut. Job, just over broke. You know what job stands for, right? Just over broke. And that's actually what the world system, because they actually, the whole education system is designed to create workers that will just work jobs. That's the whole system. And people, that's why now you got the whole higher education in America is basically a big scam. People come out of school with $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 of student loan debt, and they got a degree in underwater basket weaving that can't do anything with, or gender studies or social studies, some garbage degree that is useless and meaningless, and they can't do anything with it. Now, and then they end up going and working at Starbucks. You could have worked at Starbucks without that degree. And that's why I actually encourage people to go to trade school or learn a trade. And you have you noticed they're shutting down all the trade schools. I have people that have trades telling me they can't find people to work. They can't find electricians. They can't find quality HVAC. I mean, all this kind of stuff. And a lot of these people are retiring, and there's nobody to replace them. And I actually recently read an article about this great, amazing opportunity that's going to open up to the younger generation, Gen Z, because you got a lot of people that have been in the trades 25, 30, 40 years that are either retiring or literally dying, and there's nobody to take their place. And you've got incredible opportunity. You can learn a trade and start your own business, and you can be easily making 100 grand just like that without, I mean, because there's so much opportunity out there. But the system, the education system is not designed for people to do that, to go to trade school, and they just get a bunch of head knowledge and repetitious information that's useless and meaningless, and then they have nothing. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to work with their hands. They don't know how to create. They don't know how to actually dream. They don't know how to actually do anything. So they come out of school, they got all this debt, and they're working dead-end jobs just to pay off their student loans, and they're into their 30s now, 35 years old, still trying to pay student loans, and then they've given up on all their dreams. I'm telling you right now, by the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost is going to breathe on people, even tonight and this next revival and these next months here. People are going to start to dream big again. There were things that you used to dream. Come on, if money was no object, what would you do? If money was not the object, what would you begin to do? Just start to dream big and stir up the spirit of prosperity, and stir up prosperity in your soul by just beginning to think and beginning to dream big. Why not you? Why can't you do something big? And there is so much opportunity out there. I'm telling you right now, don't let anyone tell you that there are no opportunities. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There is so much opportunity out there. And you know what? Opportunity will find people that are looking for it and that are diligent. And when your opportunity comes, you got to grab a hold of it. So create multiple streams of income, not just one or two or three. Diversify, learn new things, do new things, educate yourself, develop your mind, develop your soul, and begin to dream again. Hallelujah. So that's why, even as your soul prospers, that's your ability to have an imagination. And remember, one of the rivers flowing out of the Garden of Eden, it means to imagine, to dream. Gihon means to dream, to imagine. Hallelujah. So there's God's creative ability and God's vision and dream that's going to be flowing out of your belly, one of the rivers that's going to be flowing out of you. Let the Holy Ghost inspire you. Let the Holy Ghost begin to inspire you, because, I mean, you can't just be stuck working at McDonald's and prosper. I can preach prosperity. You can listen to 100 hours of prosperity teaching every week. If you just work in a job at McDonald's, you ain't going to prosper. It's not going to happen. But as you learn skills and as you develop yourself and as you cultivate the ability to grab a hold of things by the Spirit of God, because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And you've got to begin to tap into the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you, because the Holy Ghost will have... Listen, for years ago, I read this book. I can't remember, but it was about this missionary that went into Hong Kong and was ministering among drug addicts. And their brains were fried. Their brains were fried. They couldn't even function. They were like vegetables, basically. Some of them were like little children, adults, but like acted like little children, because their brains were so fried from drug addiction. But this missionary found out that if he, you know, obviously he had to get him saved, but if he could get him baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, he would have them pray in tongues for hours and hours and hours, because he realized tongues has nothing to do with your brain. Your brain could absolutely be like almost like not even functional, but you can pray in tongues because it has nothing to do with your brain. And as this missionary got them all praying in tongues, all of a sudden, like, they begin to change, and their minds begin to just light up, like, just the minds, they begin to come back into their own right mind. Like the man, remember, he was in chain, cutting himself, had the legion, and then when the demons went out of him, people come back, and then they see him clothed and in his right mind. A miracle took place. So you can, you can get your mind renewed by the Word, and you can get your mind inspired by the Spirit of God if you will pray in tongues. That really got my attention. And I thought, man, I mean, I've got a good mind. My mind's not fried, but man, I can even go to the next level in my thinking. I mean, the Lord's given me an ability, and He's given me a level of intelligence. Praise God, it's His gift to me. But I don't want to just be limited in my intellect, but I want to really stir up, and I want my mind expanded by vision and dreaming and creative ability that comes by the Holy Ghost. So I started praying in tongues, and God would give me ideas. God would give me things to do in ministry, plans and strategies. And the same thing He does for ministry, He can do for business. Hallelujah. So begin to dream again. Prosper in your soul. Hallelujah. It involves renewing our minds to the Word of God. It involves growing up spiritually. There's no quick fix, but if you will stay with the process and let the Spirit of God work in you, and let the Word of God work in you, there will be change, and change for the better. You'll be changed from glory unto glory unto glory. You'll go from faith to faith. Hallelujah. God's plan for us is that we grow financially as we grow spiritually. So that's dangerous. If you grow financially too fast and you don't grow spiritually, you can blow yourself up. Amen. Because God knows that it's dangerous to put great wealth into the hands of someone who is too spiritually immature to handle it. That's why God's not just releasing unlimited wealth over the church, because most Christians or churches would take the wealth and build the craziest, dumbest, stupidest things and come up with the dumbest projects and the stupidest ideas and waste it. They'd be building, Christian water parks. What's a Christian water park? Huh? Christian prayer garden. Christian this, Christian. They just stick a Christian in front of it and build something. And just as long as they stick a Christian in front of it, they think it's Christian Subway. Christian, Christian farm. What, your chickens are saved? They're speaking in tongues. Sounds like some people's tongues. They've been stuck on. No, because you have to, because if God's going to release wealth, it's going to be to fund a heavenly vision. Provision comes for a heavenly vision, not a fleshly vision. God's not going to finance your fleshly vision. He's going to, but He's going to finance that which is inspired in your spirit. And so if you receive an inspiration from God, guess what? That is going to bring provision into your life. That's going to bring increase into your life. So a part of tapping into prosperity is also tapping into God's vision and beginning to dream and allowing the Holy Ghost to stir up imagination on the inside of you for new things, and not to be stuck with methods, not to be stuck this way or that way. And then, you know, I mean, it could be that God wants to do something brand new that's never been done with you before. But if you're stuck in a method, then you're in a box, basically. And then you won't be able to think bigger or think outside of the box. So you got to be always willing to be able to think outside of the box. And if you look at people that actually create wealth, they're all outside of the box thinkers. The real wealth creation comes from people that think outside of the box. And even if you have a skill that everybody else has, but you can still think outside of the box and do something different that nobody else is doing, that's going to give you the edge, the advantage, the Holy Ghost advantage. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32 says, "The prosperity of fools shall destroy them." That's why you can't be foolish and expect God to prosper you, because it will destroy you. Because if you make foolish decisions, and that's actually what happened with me. In my journey of getting debt free, I mean, I prayed, oh my God, I prayed, so, "Lord, you can just do one miracle and boom, wipe out all my debt." Well, that's the easy way. I think a lot of people pray that way, and you know what? God never did one big miracle that wiped out all my debt. There was a couple of miracles that happened, but the real process was that I had to change. I had to learn wisdom. That's why when Solomon prayed, he asked for wisdom. God said, "Ask of me anything." He says, "I need wisdom to lead your people." And God said, "You have chosen wisely. You've asked wisely. You've asked the right thing. And because you've asked for wisdom, I will not only give you wisdom, but I will also give you great wealth. Because without that wisdom, you can't manage the great wealth. So you need wisdom. But if you act foolishly, make foolish decisions, make wrong decisions, carnal decisions, then God can't trust you. So you have to become trustworthy. So part of being a steward is being trustworthy in your tithes and offerings, but then also being trustworthy in whatever God places, you know, in your life, and then just being trustworthy and proving to the Lord that He can trust you. And the moment you prove to the Lord He can trust you, then He'll give you more. And then when you're trustworthy with that, He'll give you even more. So He'll keep increasing you, and He wants to make sure that you seek wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is better than gold. Wisdom is the principal thing. Amen. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, you know, fearing God is, we have to fear God. We have to have fear of God back in the church. Many Christians have lost the fear of God. They're living anyhow, talking anyhow, running their mouth, running here, running there, living anyhow. And it's like, what is wrong with you people? Don't you realize that Jesus is coming back very soon? One day you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account for everything. Even for every word, Jesus said, you'll be judged for every idle word you speak. The finances, the resources, the relationships, you know, the opportunities that come, the gifts, the talents, the callings, everything, our time, everything, we're going to give an account. So that's why being a steward, good steward of everything that God has given to you, is vital in the process of prosperity. Being a good steward and being a good steward of the Word of God. He's given us the Bible. So you have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Most Christians don't even read their Bible. They don't even study the Bible, study the Word. But God's giving you, but they're praying, "Oh God, give me a word," and they have the Word, but they don't even ever open it and read it, study it, you know. And so, come on. I mean, you guys are coming to discipleship. That's very important. Let me tell you, God's going to honor that. When you commit yourself to that discipleship program, God's going to honor that. Because you are actually dedicating yourself to study the 12 foundational pillars of the Christian faith. And that is so important. Do you realize how many Christians have never even done that in their life? They've gone to church 5, 10, 15 years. They've never even taken a systematic study of some foundational things. I had people come here. One lady's telling me she's from one of the big churches here in town. I've been there 15 years. And she's like, "I didn't know I could hear the voice of God." What? She told me, "I did not know I could hear the voice of God." How long have you been in church? 15 years. Well, what have they been teaching you? Nothing. But that's also not an excuse. You can't use the church as an excuse. Well, I don't go to church because of the church. There are good churches around. You can find some. If not, move to a city where there is a church. I'm serious. Or don't move to a city. Relocate where there is no Holy Ghost church like the river. Then you'll end up being stuck in a dead church somewhere, and then everything will you can actually lose everything. You can end up even losing your marriage if you're not in a good church. It's vital. But that's also not an excuse. You have to develop yourself, studying the Word for yourself. Hallelujah. Studying the book of Proverbs this year. Every month I'm reading through the book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. And that inspired a few others to do that. Are you still doing it? Okay. Just checking. Hallelujah. You studying the book of Proverbs? Keep reading it. So there are 31 chapters of the Proverbs. So read one chapter every day. So through the month, first of the month, read Proverbs 1, second of the month, and just do that through the whole year. It'll be amazing. It's not just about, you know, I read through it, but keep reading. Stay in it. Just dig deeper and just keep. Repetition brings revelation, and that's the key. Repetition brings revelation. Fools with money end up destroying themselves. That's why you actually, when you look at the statistics from people that win the lottery, I think, I hear the statistics are crazy, pretty high up there. Like 80 to 90% are broke within a couple of years. Broke, because they don't know what to do with it. Immature believers with lots of money will fall into many temptations, because the Bible warns us about that, and end up indulging their fleshly lusts and desires. And guess what? When you sow into the flesh, you reap corruption from the flesh. So money has a way of magnifying things. It'll even magnify the flesh. If somebody has an addiction, with more money, they're even worse. If somebody has a problem, with more money, that problem is even bigger in their life. Because money just magnifies the issue. But if they have a good heart, they have the right, they have right character, they have a heavenly vision, it's just going to magnify that even more. Oh, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us magnify. Part of worship, lifestyle of worship, is magnifying the Lord. So guess what? When God blesses you and the godly character in you is magnified, it's also going to magnify the Lord. It's going to bring glory to Him. And so our prosperity needs to bring glory to God. That should be the ultimate goal of everything. If you are a Christian that is pressing in for prosperity, you believe in prosperity, you're pressing in for prosperity, you want to prosper, that's the right thing, but you should want to prosper so that you can bring God more glory, and you should prosper so you can worship God. Your prosperity is a part of worshiping God. I want to prosper because I want to worship God. You know why? Because I don't want the blood of Jesus to be in vain in my life. Because if He paid the price for my prosperity, hallelujah, and broke the curse of poverty over my life, then why should I not receive it? Amen. Well, prosperity is not for me. So what you're saying is the blood of Jesus is not enough for you. Because the blood of Jesus paid for that. So why should you not have it? And you actually desiring to have godly prosperity brings glory to God. It actually glorifies God. It actually blesses Jesus. It actually means that you actually value what Jesus has done for you. And you are in faith and it's your worship. It's a lifestyle of worship, because I want to worship God. I want to worship God with my money. I want to build the kingdom with my money. I want to glorify God with my money. Amen. And all my money, I want to have fruit, because what did Jesus say in John 15? How will the Father receive more glory? By us bearing more fruit. And a part of being part of prosperity is bearing more fruit. A fruitful Christian is a prospering Christian. A poverty-minded Christian is going to be very unfruitful. I can tell you that right now. A poverty mindset is not going to get you anywhere in ministry. You won't be able to do a whole lot in the kingdom if you're in ministry or if you're in business. I mean, can you run a successful multi-million dollar business company with a poverty mindset? Absolutely not. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. So prosperity mindset actually makes you more fruitful. So the foundation of prosperity is continual lifestyle built on the Word of God, a lifestyle of worship. Number one is lifestyle of worship. The foundation of prosperity is a continual lifestyle built on the Word of God. First place is worship. Everything is to worship Him. Everything is to glorify Him. It's all about Him, and it's all about glorifying Him. It's all about worshiping Him. Hallelujah. Putting God's Word first place, putting God first place in your life, being a worshiper. Hallelujah. Because a worshiper is a giver. Worshiper is a giver, not a hoarder. What's that? Revelation bubbling up. Somebody that's a hoarder is not a worshiper. They're selfish. Selfish people don't worship God. Selfish people have no need for God. They're too prideful. It's all about them. It's all about them. Self-centered and selfish. They don't worship God. They don't want to glorify God. They don't want to put God first place in their life. It's all about them. They want to be in the center of the universe. They want everything to orbit around them. Self-centeredness. They want to be in the center of the universe and everybody cater to them. That's a selfish person. A worshiper is a giver. A worshiper is one who lays his life down on the altar, who's given God everything. I talked about the four altars that Abraham built last night. Since we didn't capture it, I might as well just go for... First altar was what? The altar of praise. Second altar was the altar of prayer. Third altar, altar of peace. That's when he had to separate from Lot to go to the next level of prosperity because there was strife. He was in partnership, but that partnership was causing strife, so he had to separate from Lot. And Lot chose poorly. He chose Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost everything. Can you imagine? But Abraham, right after that, God says, go up to this high mountain, look out as far as you can see it. Everything you see, I'll give to you and to your descendants. I want you to have vision. I want you to see big. I want you to have big vision. As far as you see, vision is what you see. When we talk about heavenly vision is what you see. The ability to have a heavenly dream and a vision burning on the inside of you, allowing the Holy Ghost to anoint your eyes so that you can see what God wants to show you. And whatever you see, you can have. And that's what he was saying to Abraham. All that you see, I'll give it to you. What was the fourth altar he built? Altar of provision. Altar of provision. When he was taking Isaac up the mountain, and Isaac's like, Daddy, where is the burnt sacrifice, burnt offering? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So the altar of praise, when the Lord first called him and gave him the promise, he built an altar and praised God for the promise. Genesis 12. Then there was the altar of prayer. That's when he was stuck between Bethel and Ai. Bethel means the house of God. Ai means the ruin of heaps. It's like one is the house of God, the kingdom of God, and the other is the world that lies in ruins. And he pitched his tent in between the two. And then, but because he was in between, watch this now, because he was in between, what happened when the famine came? He went down to Egypt. He made a wrong decision because he was in between. He goes down to Egypt. He does something stupid. He says that his wife is his sister and the Pharaoh wants to take him as a wife. And then God has to intervene and warn Pharaoh in his dream, don't touch that woman. And then Pharaoh gets all angry and upset. And then Abraham realizes what he has done. And God intervened, thank God. In his stupidity, God intervened. But what happened was he goes what where? He goes back to Bethel. Bethel, which is the house of God. So if you're in between the house of God and the world, you're going to end up making the wrong decision. There's no in between. You're either all the way in or all the way out. There's no in between. So he built an altar of prayer. He came back. Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord. The altar of prayer. So that's the journey of prosperity, because think about this. In Genesis 12, he appears to Abram and he says, leave everything. Leave your father's house, all your inheritance, and go where I will tell you to go. And he goes on this faith journey, leaves everything behind. But the Lord says, I will bless you. And if you look at it, at the end, he ended up with gold and silver and herds and flocks and camels and donkeys and great wealth. He became very, very extremely wealthy, actually. He became extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy in that journey. But throughout that journey, there were decisions he had to make. He had to build an altar of praise where he had to keep going back and remembering God's promise and praising him for it. Then he had to build an altar of prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord because he had messed up. Anybody here ever messed up? You better call upon the name of the Lord. But guess what? He's faithful, even when we are unfaithful. That's the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Then he built that altar of peace because he got stuck. He got to a certain level where he couldn't go any further because Lot's servants were quarreling with his servants. And there was strife. And God said, you have to cut him off. You have to cut strife out of your life if you want to prosper. And he built an altar of peace because he had to walk away from that strife. And he went to the next level. It's after that the Bible says he became extremely wealthy. Before that he was wealthy. After that he became extremely wealthy. Read it. Hallelujah. And then the altar of provision. Hallelujah. So this journey of prosperity, it's a lifestyle, and you've got to be a worshiper. You cannot separate being a worshiper from prosperity. Otherwise, you'll go off. You will go off because worship puts God first and puts all your attention on God and puts God in the center of your life. And when you are a worshiper, true worshiper, and you're everything you do in your life is centered around the things of God, then God can now begin to bless you and trust you, and then wealth and prosperity and blessing will come to your life, and you will increase and you will do mighty things for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You got to put God's word first. You got to be a giver. You got to serve. Listen now. I mean, one thing that I found out here in America is people rather give money than actually come and help. I've had people here, you know, it's like, hey man, you know, we got that Baxter School Bash coming up. Come and help us. I'll just give money for it. I'm just kind of, Saturday's kind of my, day, whatever, this, that, whatever. I do this, I do that. I'll just give money for it. Come, man, come help, serve. I'll just give money. Sometimes people would rather give money than give their time. Give their effort, give their sweat, give their blood. I gave some blood today. Almost lost my finger. Tommy was drilling and I had my finger in the wrong place. Thank God the carpet was in the way and I didn't lose my finger, but I gave some blood. I gave some blood on this altar today. Right here. I gave some blood on this altar today. Tommy, I was like, ah, thank God the carpet was in the way. You were going to go right through my finger. Hallelujah. I've given a lot of blood in ministry. Not as much as Jesus has given, though. Thank God. Because I wouldn't be here right now if I gave as much blood as he did. You got to serve. Serving in the Helps ministry, that's giving. When you're serving in the Helps ministry, you are giving. You're a giver. And I tell you right now, that's what I look for leaders. People are not willing to serve in the Helps ministry, they're not leaders. They're just wannabes, pretenders. I want to be a leader. I have this and that. And okay, come. We got an ushers meeting coming up. Well, I'm just kind of wanted to do something bigger than that, actually. Oh, really? Oh, your big ego can't handle ushering. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to, embarrass you. Come help clean. Come help put some nails in. And kids ministry. Come serve the kids. Oh, kids, they just kind of, you know. What? They're amazing kids. We have a great kids ministry. Hallelujah. And actually, you know, if you come into kids ministry now, you're really coming into, because we've already kind of built the thing and established it. We got a bunch of Holy Ghost filled kids there. You should have seen it about 4 or 5 years ago when we really had to work on them. So come to Friday night, the kids ministry bi-monthly kids ministry meeting. Come and get plugged in and serve in the kids ministry. Come and serve in media. Come and serve. The people that truly are blessed and prospering are the ones that give their time, give their effort, serving. Praise God. Hallelujah. How you doing over there? You okay? Praise God. Worship. Worship. Be a worshiper. Be a giver. Be one who serves. Serve God. Serve people. Serve those who can't, who really need to be served. Serve those who can't help, who can't pay you back. Give to people who can't pay you back. Serve people. Love on people who can't love you back. Serve you back. Hallelujah. Live and walk in the Spirit. Living and walking in the Spirit is a key to prosperity, because the Spirit of God is always going to lead you into triumph. That's what the Bible says. He leads us into triumph. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. All things work together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. So the Spirit of God is always going to lead you. Listen, you might be going through stuff, but He's always going to lead you to victory. Bible says no matter what temptation or trial you're going through, God always gives you the way of escape. He's the way maker. He always makes a way. Well, even when there seems there's no way, if you will be led by the Spirit of God, He will show you the way. Jesus said, I am the way, and He will always make a way. He'll show you the way. You'll come through. Hallelujah. You'll come through on the other side. It is absolutely vital that you walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Living and walking in the Spirit. Living the Spirit-filled life. And then not only being filled with the Spirit when you come in the services, but walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Not just being Spirit-filled, but being Spirit-controlled. Yielded all the time. And then, of course, this is one. That's an important one here. I don't even know what number. I guess this is number 5. Work hard. Yes, work hard. Work very hard. And smart. Work hard and work smart. Let me throw that one in too. But there is absolutely no substitute for hard work. And I think we just got a lot of Christians, they think they can just pray their way into prosperity without doing any work. That ain't gonna happen. You can't just pray your way into prosperity. You're going to have to work hard. The hand of the diligent makes rich. You're going to have to put your hand to something. You're going to have to put your hand to the plow. You're going to have... He says, whatever you put your hands to shall prosper, shall be blessed. He'll bless the work of your hands. Hallelujah. Whatever you put your hands to. Not wherever you put your pants to. God doesn't bless the seed of your pants. He blesses the work of your hands. Hard work. Hard work. I made a decision a long time ago. I know there might be people that even have more, they're more gifted than me, better preachers than me, whatever. But I knew that, I said, they're not going to outwork me. I'm going to outwork every single person. I'm going to outwork them all. I didn't get here to this point in my life by being lazy. I don't believe anybody can say Pastor Corey is lazy. Pastor Rose is lazy. We're not. We are hardworking people. We work hard. We work hard. Hallelujah. And then number 6 is be faithful with little. Be faithful with little. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. This is important because we have a covenant. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. If we make that our aim, that we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, if you make that your aim, that your aim should not be to make more money. Your aim should be to grow spiritually. Amen. I want to grow spiritually. I want to become all that God's called me to be. Hallelujah. So spiritual maturity, spiritual growth should always come before financial growth. Because I always heard Pastor Ronnie always taught us this, and he's always say that this is what they prayed. Lord, prosper me, or do not allow me to prosper beyond the level. Wait, hold on. What was the prayer? Oh, Lord, do not allow me to prosper beyond the level of what I can handle, but then change me so that I can prosper more, so I can handle more. Apparently, obviously in the ministry, that's also a dangerous place. When a lot of money starts flowing through a ministry, if attitudes are not right, hearts are not right, man. I've seen a lot of stuff. So spiritual growth and financial growth should be happening simultaneously. And you must understand, it's just like your ministry. If you want your ministry to grow, you have to grow. You have to grow spiritually. You have to grow. If you want your business to grow, you need to be growing spiritually. If you're stuck, your business will be stuck. Your ministry will be stuck. Spiritual growth is vital, and there is no spiritual growth outside of being a worshiper. Lifestyle of worship is absolutely vital to your spiritual growth, because worship keeps you connected with the presence of God. Worship keeps you connected with the presence of God. And you have to have the presence of God. You can't grow and change without the presence of God, without the Holy Spirit doing a work on the inside of you. Otherwise, it's just religion. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we are being changed from glory unto glory into the very image of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Ghost, His number one work in you is to make you more like Jesus. So Holy Spirit doesn't come there so that you can just have a bunch of gifts and look good. He comes, first and foremost, He comes to make you more like Jesus, to build character in you. And just like when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit should be more important than cultivating the fruit of the Spirit should be more important than the gifts of the Spirit. And we got a lot of people that just want to operate in the gifts, seek gifts, but they're immature. And it's like giving a kid a loaded gun. And they go just blowing people away. And so you have to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And, right, because you can speak in tongues, you can move mountains, you can have faith to move mountains, you can do this, you can do that. But if you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal or a loud gong. Because what is love? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's godly character. Fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the qualities of love, like joy. Joy is a quality of love. Have you noticed when you're more joyful, you're more loving? When you're not joyful, you're grouchy, you're less loving? Hello? Peace. Patience. Amen. Kindness. Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are all characteristics of the love of God. So, to prosper, you have to love God and you have to love people. That should be, love should be the motivation behind everything we do. Love is the motive. Love must be the motive in everything you do. Loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Loving people, loving the kingdom, loving the things of God. Love, 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 love. But I'm talking about real love, not the fake love that the world has. It's all fake. Everything's fake in the world. Fake love. Fake news. Fake food. Fake love. It's all fake. But real love, which is the agape love of God, that love is powerful. It's powerful. The love of God is powerful. Never fails. It's patient. It's kind. See? Patience, kindness. It's good. Doesn't seek evil, but it seeks good. It's joyful. Hallelujah. Being filled with joy. Hallelujah. And joy is so powerful because it really empowers our praise. Because you can't be a sad, depressed Christian and praise God. I've never seen anyone that is sad and depressed praise God. That's why the Bible says, put on the garment of praise instead of that spirit of heaviness. Because depression, that religious spirit, that heavy spirit, you have to put on the garment of praise. You have to put on praise. Man, we put on some praise here Sunday night, but man, that's what I told you. You need to live like that. Put on praise when you wake up in the morning. Put on. And I didn't say put on praise music. I said put on praise. Put on that attitude of praise. Put on that spirit of praise. Hallelujah. Just put on praise. Just like you put on clothes, put on praise. Just put on that attitude of praise. Just say, I praise you, Lord God. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done in my life. Hallelujah. Number one reason we praise God is for who he is. In praise, we declare his character, his goodness, who he is. Number two reason we praise God is for what he's done. What he's done in our lives. And the number three reason we praise God is for what he's promised to do. Hallelujah. And actually, I can just change the order of that. Second reason is praise him for what he's promised to do. And then the things that he's promised to do will manifest in your life. Then you'll praise him for what he's done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you praise God for who he is. And you praise God for what he promised. And you praise God for what he's done. Don't ever go through a day without praising God. Put on the garment of praise. Take off that spirit of heaviness. Take off that ugly spirit of heaviness. And when you feel it coming on you, sometimes you'll feel it coming on. It'll be like a discouragement come on you. Anybody ever been there? Immediately, you need to attack that thing by beginning to praise God. Immediately, you've got to come in the opposite spirit and you begin to just praise God. And the worse you feel, the more you should shout and praise and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we make a joyful noise unto the Lord in this place right now? Come on. Hallelujah. See how joy all of a sudden breaks out. Because it's impossible for you to be depressed and sad when you're praising God and making a joyful noise. All that joy begins to bubble up out your belly. She's ready anyways to pop off. Hallelujah.
She's trying not to the whole time. She's trying not to.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, do it again.
Hallelujah.
Come on, do it one more time. I used to get a lot of hate mail to our Turkish TV network because I always say hallelujah. I don't even realize I'm hallelujah, hallelujah. I just say it preaching, you know, I just probably didn't even realize how many times I said hallelujah. And the email is usually like, that man says hallelujah too many. And this is coming from Christians. He says hallelujah. So tell him to stop saying hallelujah all the time. So next time I'm going to go, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Welcome to the program, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Today I'll be sharing on this, hallelujah. Turn to your Bibles, hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, hallelujah. You got to come in, that's that religious spirit. Can't handle you saying hallelujah. What's wrong with me saying hallelujah? You know actually what hallelujah, hallelujah actually always, listen, the word hallelujah actually, the word demands a response. It actually means praise the Lord. And so when somebody would say hallelujah, others would say hallelujah back. So that's actually how that works. So when if I say hallelujah,
hallelujah,
you say hallelujah back.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.